Greed is the latest film from film director Michael Winterbottom. It stars Steve Coogan as Sir Richard Greedy McCready, fashion tycoon and self-styled king of the high street, a figure loosely based on Sir Philip Green, the infamous billionaire whose retail empire included Topshop and British Home Stores before he fell from grace a few years back. Alan Corp spoke to Steve Coogan in London recently, and Alan is with me in studio to share some of that interview with us. But before that, let's hear Sir Richard McCready in action. An unfortunate employee has created a window display that he's hoping his boss will like.
Oh, Christ on a bike, Neil. What am I going to say about this?
Well, I was hoping you'd like it, but it doesn't sound like... Is something wrong?
Something's wrong, yeah.
Too many clothes? Too few clothes, perhaps?
Shall I put you out of your misery? Yeah?
Please.
Actually, no, I'm not going to do that. That'll involve me performing a very, very late abortion. Don't laugh, Neil. This is not banter. This is me bollocking you. Can you not read people, Neil?
No. Yes, I can.
No, you can't, otherwise you'd stop talking. What else can't you read, Neil? You can't read the fucking name of the fucking shop. It's white on white. In other words, it's shite on shite. That is page one of the manual, isn't it? In fact, it's front cover of the fucking book. Name recognition.
Yeah.
See, if you don't sort this out, Neil, the writing is on the wall for you. Except it won't be white on white, it'll be red on brown. Do you know what those colours are for, Neil?
Is it blood and poo?
Yeah, correct. Well done. There's hope for you yet, Neil. This is positive reinforcement. This is me motivating you.
Steve Coogan there as Sir Richard McCready, who I should have told you beforehand, had a very colourful way with language, certainly doesn't spare us when it comes to use of the broad F, etc. Charlie Cooper was also playing the hapless Neil there, and that is from the film Greed. As I said, Alan Corr been speaking with Steve Coogan about the film recently in London. So Richard McCready sounds like a conglomeration of a whole load of fellas, one of whom could shout your fire to you at any time, another of whom could be shouting to you in Hell's Kitchen somewhere, telling you to get on with things.
Quite a bit of work, Sean, as we've just heard. Now, loosely inspired by Sir Philip Green, as you mentioned, this is the story of Sir Richard, that's Rich for short, McCready, that's Greedy McCready, as you say. And in the movie, he's a second generation Irishman who's made billions from the fast fashion industry off the back of kind of essentially what are sweatshops in places like Sri Lanka and India, although the places he uses in the movie aren't as bad as all that. So we meet him, you know, just when his gilded existence begins to crumble. He's facing a parliamentary select committee investigating his somewhat unethical business dealings. And to save the McCready brand, what this billionaire does, and you know, to show off to his celebrity friends, he decides to throw a very extravagant party on Mykonos in Greece to celebrate his 60th birthday. And the theme of this party is based in Gladiator. But the thing about this character is that he's terribly obnoxious, but he's also very, very funny.
And well, apart from the funny side of it, I mean, is it possible to like this guy in any way? You know, because you just think, who wants to know about him? We might laugh at him, but do we care about him?
Strangely enough, we do in the movie. I mean, my initial question to Steve Coogan was, of course, how can you play this unlikable, obnoxious person who's also extremely funny and extremely charismatic? And I put this to him when I met him.
And you asked him, was he afraid of making him too sympathetic?
No, the reverse. I mean, I thought he was so obnoxious. I thought it's always nice when you have tension. If an audience decides that someone is all bad or the side of characters is all good, then they kind of lose interest. But if they're sat there scratching their head thinking, well, I don't really like this guy, but he makes me laugh. You know, sometimes there are people you think I'd like to hang out with them, but I don't think I share their opinions. But they'd be fun to spend an evening with. I think Rich McCready is like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because you have. If he was just unrelentingly awful, you wouldn't want to watch the film.
And there's Steve Coogan explaining why he makes Sir Richard McCready just a little bit sympathetic. And I guess it's reasonable enough. You know, all black, all white. That's not interesting to watch. Alan Carr, David Mitchell plays the character of Nick, who's a writer trying to put together MacReady's life stories. How important in a framing device is that in the film?
Well, it's a pretty straightforward framing device, Sean. I suppose you could describe David Mitchell's character as the Boswell of the piece, because MacReady is sufficiently egotistical that he wants this biography written, and he expects David Mitchell's character, the name of the character is Nick. He's a writer, a very diffident guy, also a very learned guy who goes around quoting Greek mythology and Roman history, which suits the kind of the vista that we're in, the setting we're in, which is in Greece, and he's going back to the gladiator era and all the rest. But the David Mitchell character is essentially his character in Peep Show, Mark. And he follows him around. But the framing device essentially is that we learn about the rise and fall of this third generation Irishman who's made these billions by looking back on the 70s and the 80s, the Thatcherite 80s and the 90s, and his final crash in the noughties when he's facing this parliamentary select committee. So it's a very clever framing device, and one that we kind of we get to look into his background a lot.
And now, you were telling us that it all centres around, or the fall starts around the time of this big party, this lavish party, the 60th birthday party for MacReady on the island of Mykonos, and that obviously the targets here are the rich and famous. So you asked Steve Coogan precisely about that, you know. Had he encountered the rich and famous himself?
Yeah, well, of course, certainly being doing what I do. In fact, in the world of the super rich, the poorest people in their social circle are probably entertainers, because they're kind of like the modern court jesters for the super rich. They allow the super rich only like to hang around with other super rich people unless they're entertaining. So the rich and the beautiful, the famous, the successful and the beautiful are allowed to join that circle. So I find myself sometimes at parties on the periphery of certain parties.
So Steve Coogan, obviously not afraid to point out that he has, I suppose, would he be one of the rich and famous himself, Alan Corr?
Well, I suppose in a certain milieu he would. I mean, he's a very, very well respected comedian and actor who, of course, began with Alan Partridge all those years ago. But the interesting thing for me with the movie was that this Richard MacReady guy is another one of these almost grotesques that Coogan has played, like the likes of Tony Wilson in 24 Hour Party People, Paul Raymond, the pornographer, and Alan Partridge himself.
The other thing that I found kind of amazing about this is that people appear quite often as themselves. And if they're going to be at that party in Mykonos or anything in this company, they're going to be labelled as one of the rich and famous. Are they prepared to kind of take the pee out of themselves?
Very, very much so. And this is where the movie gets very meta. It's very kind of ever-decreasing circles in some ways. Like, because a lot of these celebrities attach themselves to these, well, let's face it, billionaires.
Yeah.
And they attend their parties, and sure, why wouldn't they? And sometimes they're paid a fortune to turn up. But in this movie, you do have a lot of heavy-hitting people like Keira Knightley and Colin Firth, and, as we said, Louis Walsh. So I asked Steve, was he surprised to have these kind of people in the movie?
Yeah, well, I was actually. I mean, I think great credit should go to, because they're sort of sending themselves slightly prostituting themselves for someone who just happens to be incredibly successful. I mean, Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim, otherwise known as Stephen Fry, play themselves as people who have. The irony is they played themselves as people who'd taken, been paid a fortune just to indulge the vanities of a modern day emperor. In reality, they were paid almost nothing to portray themselves in a negative way. So they deserve a big round of applause.
There you go, Steve Coogan. It's a sort of a begrudging praise for the rich and famous who decided to take part in this film for a few bob. I wonder how much isn't very much to pay them. Sadly, Caroline Flack also makes an appearance in this movie.
Yes, you know, obviously it's very tragic news over the weekend. I'd imagine this movie wrapped quite a few months ago. She does make a very fleeting appearance, like a lot of the other celebrities. I think she's part of the retinue at the party. She's not in it as much as Stephen Fry, but in retrospect, watching it again, you know, after the tragedy of the weekend, it's going to be very poignant.
Now, Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge on his spoof chat show, this time with Alan Partridge in March last year, he had a West of Ireland farmer called Martin Brennan on the show with him. And they gave us a rendition of a few little Irish songs. Let's have a listen.
Come on, lads.
Come to me.
Please stop playing.
All my dream of love is o'er. I love you as I loved you when you were sweet, when you were sweet, 16. Come out, you black and tan, come and fight me like a man. Show your wife how you won medals down in Flanders. Tell her how the IRA made you run like Calloway. Run the green and lovely lanes of Kilashandra. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man should stand behind the men behind the wire.
Come on, Simon!
And that's Martin Brennan and Alan Partridge on This Time with Alan Partridge with that little medley of Irish tunes. And that would have happened before there was any talk of commemorations in the autumn of this year. That was back in March of last year. How prescient was that?
Very, very prescient indeed, as it turns out in retrospect. I think for many people, including myself, it was probably the TV highlight of last year.
Well, unless we can ever get David Cullen Ann to go on the BBC One show, maybe we can get
no comment. Yeah. But I mean, obviously, considering recent events in Ireland, like from Charlie Flanagan, his attempt to commemorate the RIC, and then, Sinn Féin celebrations after their famous victory last Saturday week in the general election, it was very much back on the news again. So I had to ask Steve about singing that song, of course.
I was hoping that my fellow Irishman, as someone who's half Irish, would appreciate it. And they did, it was kind of like a little in-joke. It was almost like a sort of private bet. I wonder if we could get... Just for the mischief of it, can we get an Irish rebel song on primetime BBC One?
There you go. Tongue firmly planted in cheek, I suppose, as you told you that, Alan Carr. That's Steve Coogan speaking to Alan Carr. And the film about which we were speaking there, Greed, is on general release this Friday, 21st of February. We'll be reviewing it on Thursday night's programme.